Welcome everyone to the morning refresh. Let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into the word that God's given us. Father, we praise you and we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that we have the strength and the capacity and the ability to be here, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for a breath today, for strength and the will and desire to come to know and be closer to you and to commune and be a part of a family, Lord. This is something the world desires and don't understand that they need it, Lord. Thank you. Enemy, I put you on notice. You're not welcome here in the name of Jesus. You must flee and not return in the name of Jesus Christ by the blood of the cross. Father, I surrender myself to you. My words be your words. My thoughts be your thoughts, Lord. Let our hearts open and enlarge so that your word will come in and take root, Lord. Let it grow, Father, and prosper because the word says it doesn't return to you void. Let it do the work that it's called to do, and let us be the men and women of God that we are called to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for being here. And as you can see on the screen, we're going to talk about equipped to be mighty. And last week I talked to you about David's mighty men, and we found out that they didn't start out very mighty, did they? No, they were broke, busted, and disgusted, as we would say in our time. they had to go through the process, and we too have to go through that process as well. A lot of times we look at our trials and tribulations, our temptations, the leading of the Holy Spirit as something that's hard, but it is preparing you and equipping you for what you need to be successful in the kingdom of God and in your life here on earth as well. So turn with me briefly to Jeremiah 9, and I just want to read these verses in the New Living Translation, and Jeremiah chapter 9. That's after the Song of Solomon, or in some books, Song of Songs, depending on which version you have. And verses 23. It's a little different in the New Living Translation. I liked it because it helped me understand the wording. And some days I just need all the help I can get. But let me read it to you. It says, "This is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches." Now, he's talking of earthly things, fleshly things. It's, "But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. A time is coming, says the Lord, when I will punish all those who are circumcised in the body, but not in the spirit." And that was a very profound version, I thought. It was awesome. But we're talking about, now when he's talking about, most historians or teachers will talk about, when he's talking about unfailing love and justice and righteousness, he's talking about the coming of Christ, his son, to die for our sins. But I would thought it was interesting. It says, "Those who are circumcised in body but not in spirit." Now, circumcised in the Bible means, you know, it's the procedure that we all know about in with Abraham in Genesis 17, the cutting of the outward flesh to signify the covenant with God. Circumcised, the word actually means to cut out something, to remove. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." This talks about your intent and your thought life, your intents and your thoughts. We are no surprise to God. He knows what he put in us. If you read Psalms, David talked about that. I think it was 173. 191. It's one of the Psalms that he talks about. You knew me, you knit me together, and you made me wonderfully. I'm wonderfully made. One version says that I am equipped. I am equipped. I want to talk to you today about, we think we see people in our midst even, and we read in the Bible about these great men and women of God, but they were just human like you and I. And they had a time in their lives where they had to make a decision to be and to do what God had called them in to do, to step into that reality, that calling, or whatever it was, that usually it's an incident, one or two, that they're involved with. And I was thinking about David's mighty men and how we could be mighty people of God ourselves. And when I researched it, I found a list, and I thought it was worth repeating. It says, to be mighty in God, you must abide in his presence. You must yearn for him. He must be a priority in your life. You must press into his kingdom. You must give yourself to prayer and intercession, and you should keep your life pure. That's how you become mighty. And those are great words to say it. It's good. I just want to explain some of them. When I met my husband at a very young age, I was just a teenager, and I put myself into his family as much as I could. I never missed the opportunity to spend time with his family because his family was important to him. And if I wanted to be part of that family, then they become important to me. I was very young. They helped guide and direct me my whole life since the age of 18. So this is the same thing with being part of the kingdom of God. So if you look at David's mighty men, you notice that they left home and went to him in the cave. I talked about that last week. David was hiding in the cave from his father-in-law, trying to keep his life. And they left and went to him and stayed with him. They trained with him all through his life and his kingship, even before he was king. They lived together. They ate together. They fought together. So they stayed in his presence constantly. And they yearned to have the same outcome that he wanted, him to be king. They protected him. They guarded him. They walked at his command and did as he commanded. There was one thing in the Bible. He just talked about desiring a drink of water from a well in Jerusalem. Three of his mightiest men broke through enemy lines and got him a cup of water and brought it back to him. That's how much they loved their king. Does your life still reflect that kind of love for your king? Pressing into his kingdom. They fought for the values and the beliefs that he had. They believed in what he was doing. So they pressed even to their death, possible death, to do and make his kingdom happen. Do we, as the people of God, do that? These are the times that define you. You know, you didn't become mighty by sitting at home and doing nothing. No, an athlete trains. He has an event or she has an event that she's training for and that she's going out to be great. They're not going to be great if they sit on the sideline all the time. They're not going to have the opportunity to excel in what they're doing. To be a mighty person of God, you got to go through some stuff. You got to put yourself out there. You got to stand. You got to speak. You just can't come to church on Sunday, hoop and holler, and think that's going to get you through the next 4 or 5 days. No, baby, it's not. That is not relationship with your king. That is not relationship with your king. You've got to pray and intercede. You've got to seek him daily. Crave, pursue him. He pursues us, doesn't he? I can see things in my life where he was pursuing me as fast as I was running. He was always right there. Always. And that's the kind of love that he wants from us. That's why he says, I'm jealous for you. I want everything from you. You don't go and get married and not give your whole self to your husband, do you? No. What kind of relationship is that? It's not a relationship. That's just friends with benefits, as they like to say. I'm just putting that out there. It's what it is, what it is. So I got to reading and thinking about that. And so how to be mighty in God, Romans 2 and 29. And Paul was writing to the Romans, and they were pushing circumcision, that if you were saved, you were going to be a follower of Christ, a Christian, that you had to be circumcised physically. And he told him, he says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit or by the spirit. When you abide in his presence and when you yearn for him, there's going to be some changes in your life because you're going to seek to know everything about him. When I met my husband, I met his family. I wanted to know his mom, his dad, his aunts, his uncles. I wanted to know the history of their family, where they were from. What kind of upbringing did he have? What kind of religion was a big thing? What was he brought up in? What did he believe? Those were important things for me to know because I was going to immerse myself and become part of this family, and I wanted to, you know, make sure that this all would work out together. Have you seen two marry that were total opposites in everything? Usually not a pretty marriage. But because I love Christ so much, I am allowing the Holy Spirit to daily cleanse me. It's a daily thing. Yes, I've been justified. I've been set free. I've been forgiven of my sins, and I have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. But it is a daily cleansing. If you do Ephesians 5 and 26, that's in the New Testament after Galatians. Ephesians 5 and 26, and I've got the New Living Translation up here. It's funny, it's talking about husband and wives and how we're supposed to submit to one another. But he's talking about to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. That's what happens every day. You know, we talk about in Romans 1 and 17, it says that we are to we are being changed faith to faith by situation to situation. You're being washed. You're being changed. It says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed faith to faith, as written, the righteous shall live by faith. To be a mighty person of God, I've got to learn to live by faith. I've got to allow and be willing to be changed. It is a giving of yourself and letting go of your own self, your own will, your own desires. It's a total submission. Salvation is in parts. It's forgiveness of sin, and then it's submitting to the will of God. They go hand in hand. Because you can't come down here and say the prayer, sinner's prayer, and then run out there and go right back to the life that you went to, you were in. And you know, have any change and goodness, and, you know, that will it will eventually drag you right back down to where you were. John the Baptist said it. He says, he must increase and I must decrease. That's John, I think it's 33 and 30, something like that. He must increase and I must decrease. To be mighty, I've got to be more like him. You know, I've done seen where my decisions and my best laid plans, what I thought was going to feel good or do good or be good, where it took me, didn't take me anywhere good. Took me down a very dark road. But when I submit my will to him and to his leading through the Holy Spirit, then I see something better, something that works for my good. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, my grace is all you need. Well, this is he was writing what God told him. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul wrote that about himself. Paul was a well-educated man, Roman citizen. He had it all going for him. He probably had the hair and the eyes and the clothes and the shoes. He probably had it all going for him. He was educated at the best school. But, you know, at one point he wrote, it's all just dung. It's all it is. It's worth nothing. So what I know about Christ in my life with him, that's what matters. Paul knew that he didn't possess anything within himself to be mighty, not the mightiness that God would give him. Paul wrote most of the New Testament from jail, house arrest or in jail, shipwrecked, a hostile situation, always under someone's control. And we don't like that, do we? But sometimes that's the choice, that's the life that we have to endure, even if it's temporary. He even said in Galatians 6 and 17, he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Ain't many of us give away flesh for the Lord Jesus Christ yet. We've experienced some emotional trauma, some talking, some mental distress, pressure, but I haven't bore in my body the marks of Christ, not visibly that you can see, spiritually maybe. David's mighty men, they stayed by his side, lived together, trained together, through the good and the bad. And I reminded of the story when they came home and the enemy had showed up and took everything that they had. Burned the houses down, took the women, children, everything they possessed, and they show up to this. Here they are, the mighty men of God, done great things, anointed king, leader. He was a wonderful leader. And what's the first thing they want to do? They want to get rid of David. They are angry. There's going to be some hard times. There are going to be some situations that come along, you know, that you know, is testing and trying you. But are you going to be triumphant? David did the wisest thing in the world, is he encouraged himself in the Lord and he went and talked to God. Do you want me to go and do this? If I go, will I get everything back that I lost? Very wise leader. But notice the first thing the men did when they come to David is they left everything. So usually changing your company affects just how mighty you're going to be. You cannot surround yourself with hopeless people, negative, not intentionally anyways. Some of us don't have a choice. We have to work in a place or be in a place for so many hours a day. But God's called you to be the light in that situation. But changing it, Proverbs 13 and 20, he says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So it does matter who you're around. David's men left all and went to him in the cave. And they worked and lived together. They communed together. Pastor even posted a little bit about that yesterday. If you read listen to his post, his video. It makes a difference who you hang out with. As a Christian, you can't hang out with people who are not constantly. Yes, you're called to be a light, but you got to be careful. Those old demons start sneaking around and temptation comes, and then you're dragged right back down into the pit that God pulled you out of. First Corinthians 15 and 33 says, do not be misled, because corrupt morals come by bad companionship. And that's a different version. But literally, it's who you hang out with is going to corrupt you. My grandmother says, if you stir around and, you know, poop long enough, it's eventually going to get on you. And that's true. You can't be mighty when you surround yourself with people who are not. Especially spiritually. The next thing is we need to train. We need to train. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 13, 16 and 7 in the New Living says, all scripture is inspired by God, is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. You must train. You must train. Knowing God, knowing the Word of God, that Word of God, you know, it changes you and matures you and cleans you up. It's preparing you for battle. Every day you get up, there's a battle on spiritually. Now, we don't war against, flesh and blood like David and his men did. We're kind of like Paul. We're warring against the principalities and the powers in high places. We are doing a spiritual battle. However, the enemy uses the fleshly people to do that battle. So Ephesians 6 tells me that I am equipped to do this every day. I have the Spirit of God living within me. My sins are forgiven. And so now I have to be intentional to put on the equipment, to put on the mindset that Christ died to give me so that I can be a mighty person. The change comes from the inside. When you spend time with him, when you press in for him, when you pursue him, when you learn about who he is and who you are in him, that's the change comes. But he gave you equipment to even work on the outside spiritually. And these are well-known verses. It's let me go to the right chapter 6. And, you know, we know all about this. You know, in chapter 11, it says, 10, it says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. First clue, you're not battling with your own strength. If you are, you usually end up in defeat, right? I want that car. I ain't going to ask you about it. I just going to go get it. We talked about that this morning. So you be sitting in a car like me at work one day, praying God bring the Old Testament justification and fire and brimstone down, and God has to check you in the car before you get in the job. He's like, girl, I had to give you some time. I was like, you know, the frogs and the, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, some of that should just be coming around. Holy Spirit says, not the right attitude, Sonia. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So I'd seen where my ideas wouldn't. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here's two of the problems. We don't take the whole armor. And we don't stand. We don't stand firm. We don't take a stand. You can get in trouble in both of those, can't you? You're just walking around in that armor, and you're just like, yeah, I see you over there, devil, but I sound too good in this cling, 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 and the bling, bling, bling today. I'm just going to go over here and look at myself in this beautiful breastplate and helmet and this sword. Come on, baby, take a stand. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon unto you the whole armor of God. It's amazing they said that twice within so many sentences. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Well, when you're studying God's word, you got to put that belt on, that truth. It's funny that you put it on your loins. It's around your waist. It's your hips and your spine. And this controls where you go, doesn't it? My hips can't go this way, and my butt, no, it don't work that way. It goes where my loins go. So if you have the truth in there, it provides you with direction, provides you with understanding. That the Bible says the Holy Spirit will, he'll let you know these things in advance, and he does. He will speak to you if you will listen to him. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this righteousness, you know, your heart's been made clean. But every day you got to put it back on, right? You got to keep cleansing that heart. Say, like, I'm in right standing with God, and I want to keep it that way. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's a choice. You might be made that if you want. He's already done the work. He's already done it. But you got to get up every day and decide to put on that breastplate. I'm going to choose to be pure. I'm going to choose to make the right decisions. It says, and you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Girl, ain't nothing sticks out in a chaotic situation than a person sitting there in total peace. That is such an opportunity to share why you have that peace. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I come to give you peace. Not the peace that the world can give you, but what I give you. That's different. That's putting that, you know, the shoes on and walking in peace. Standing firm. Wherewith you shall be able to, and it says, and take up the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Shield of faith. Faith is something that he gave us. It's part of the gospel. It's part of the Spirit. It's the seed, the fruit of the Spirit. But we have to activate it, don't we? Some of us just like to take the L's, right? And it's like, oh, go ahead, hit me. No. Throw your shield of faith up there. God gave it to you for a reason. And, of course, the helmet of salvation, when you put that thing on and you remember who you are and who God is, the enemy has no way of cutting that away from you. We learned Wednesday night that it's compared to an anchor, an anchor for the soul. It's hope. It's I have hope. Even though the situation looks insane, I don't even know how I'm going to get out of this. I am going to stand, and I'm going to be, and I'm going to speak, and I'm going to not let fear take over. That's a mighty person to me. Remembering the salvation and using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's why it's important to know the Word, so that you can use it when need be. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Staying connected. Praying for others, helping others when you can. It doesn't take anything great to be mighty. It really doesn't. It takes somebody who's submitted and committed to doing what is right. Abide in his presence. Yearn for him. Press into his kingdom. Give yourself to prayer and intercession. And choose to live a pure life. That has set you apart on its own. We have hired a new girl at work today, and one of the girls are this week, and one of the girls, they like to drink. And that's one of the first things I ask her. She's like, no, I don't drink. And I'm like, woo, someone else. Thank you, Lord. But I have this responsibility to protect her as much as I can. Ooh. But, I mean, that was mighty. She's a young girl, probably 22, if that. I don't drink. I don't do any of that. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. That was a mighty moment right there. She was a mighty warrior just in that one instant. And me. Now, the rest of them didn't understand it because they don't see with godly eyes. But you can be mighty. You are equipped to be mighty. You are equipped. God put it in you. Activate it. Use it. Help it to grow and mature. Circumcise your heart, your will, your way. Because, you know, it got most of us in a terrible situation, didn't it? Be mighty every day for God. He equipped you to do so. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for this day and your encouraging words, Lord, that even though we look like the most unlikely warriors in the kingdom, Father, we are warriors nonetheless. We will not allow the enemy to make us anything less, to tell us that we're anything less. Give us the wisdom and understanding to see your words and your opportunities to walk in mightiness each and every day of our lives. And we thank you, Father, but we know we never travel that road without you and your strength and your power. In Jesus' name, amen.